Why, hello there. I'm in the studio today because I am recording my first audiobook. It was a brainwave that I had while I was in Melbourne for the Hay House Writers Workshop. You know, they were talking about audiobooks and how they're kind of exploding right now. And I've had so much resistance around actually having my book edited, because I feel like it was just the book I needed to write in order to kind of process all the shit that I'd been through. And, you know, writing that book, since I finished it, my life has changed. You know, it's done a 180 degree spin. So I feel like that book, it maybe was never meant to be a physical book. Maybe it is. I'm just going to leave that one open. But I decided to do things in a way that feel really good for me. And that is, and it makes so much sense, record my book. Just release Memoir of a Mediocre Life, which I recorded an episode, the first episode talking about this, back in November 2016. And I've been talking about this fucking book for so long, it just feels so incredible to record it and get it out there. So today I'm going to, well, there's two things I want you to take away from this, right? Like, one is, it's okay to do things your own way. Like, I can't believe I didn't think of this earlier. I can't believe I thought that it needed to be this, you know, traditional path of writing a book and then going to a publisher, or, you know, editing it, getting it edited and then self-publishing. That perhaps there's another route that was even more simple and a path of least resistance for me. And that has been recording it. I mean, I'm a voiceover artist. I have a recording studio. I have an editor, why wouldn't I record my first book? And just having that awareness, just making that commitment, it feels so light and airy and breezy. And it's actually allowed me to now let the book, the actual book that I'm going to pitch, to come forward. So I thought, what better way to give you guys a taste of what's to come than to share a bit of a sample chapter with you. So today's episode is one small chapter on a concept that I talk about a lot here, which is how you do one thing is how you do all things. I hope you enjoy. If you're interested, you can pre-order the audiobook at carlynimmo.com/book. And yeah, I hope you enjoy. How you do one thing is how you do all things. My best friend and I were walking to the local shops one day after primary school. We'd watched The Sound of Music about 7,546 times. I loved music. I loved to sing. And I rather fancied myself as a little bit good at both. I was particularly enamoured with the sound of my own voice. To be truthful, I still am. This particular day, as we walked around the somewhat safer back streets of suburbia in the late 80s, I was singing Do Re Mi and rather liking what I heard. I turned to my best friend for validation and asked, "Do you think I've got a good voice?" To which she devastatingly replied, "No, not really." Ouch, it hurt. Like a million daggers to the heart. I shut up instantly. I felt angry, but mostly hurt, and I felt shame. I stopped singing, publicly. Fast forward a few years, I was 19, lying in bed with the love of my life at the time, a guy I was completely obsessed with, a guy who treated me like absolute shit, a guy who stood me up pretty much every weekend, a guy who once placed me in front of the mirror and said, "Look at me, then look at you. You're so lucky to be with me. I'm so much better looking than you. I could have any girl I want, and I'm here with you. Consider yourself lucky." Crazy in love. I feel sad for 19-year-old Carly. She desperately loved this guy, and he didn't give a shit about her. Or maybe he did, and he just didn't know how to show it. I'm not sure, but I do know part of me chose this guy because he was validation that I was good-looking enough. For what? For him, for the world. And if I was good-looking enough for this guy to go out with, it was external validation for the prettiness I felt. Truth? I thought I was pretty. No one else seemed to, but this guy, he was the hottest guy at school. And going out with him, it said something about me to the outside world. If I was worthy of his love, there was something special about me. I'm lying in bed with him and I tell him I love singing. He asks me to sing him a song, so I suck up all my courage and start singing Eternal Flame, the Bangles. And when I finish, I look at him with doe eyes and he says, meh, nothing special. Again, anger, hurt, shame. I stopped singing, but I didn't stop dating him. How you do one thing is how you do all things. I've spent most of my life measuring the value of things I do, not by what made me feel good, but how it was perceived by others. If people weren't completely in awe of me or what I was doing, even if I felt so fucking amazing when I was doing it, I'd stop. Like, their opinion of how good I am at the thing matters more to me than my enjoyment of doing the thing. I've been working on this for a while now, and to a certain point, I've even accepted that seeking validation isn't all bad. It's kind of natural. We all want to belong, and being accepted by others helps to guarantee we won't be left on the outer prey to the wolves that circle. Even so, there are healthy levels of requiring validation and unhealthy. I still find myself giving too many fucks about what other people think. I'm pretty sure we all do, right? I'm not convinced it's about giving zero fucks. It's about giving a healthy amount of fucks. Less fucks, but some fucks. Not enough fucks that we aren't completely detached and aloof, but not enough fucks that we live our lives trying to find love and acceptance outside of ourselves. The one thing I've come up against time and time again in every aspect and every relationship in my life has been the worry that I'll continue to share so deeply of myself and I won't measure up again. Go in, go all in on something and have it be mediocre. The deep-rooted fear that I'll never find the one thing, that I'll never be really fucking amazing at anything, that I'm destined to be mediocre. But that's not good enough of a reason to not go all in. How good I'm perceived or not perceived by external factors should not be the guide or deciding factor as to what we do or don't do with our lives. Let's be real. I will never measure up if the stick with which I measure myself is different for every person I meet. Where I might measure up to one person, someone else's measuring stick will be completely at odds. But if that stick is mine, if it's created by me and measures the things that are most important to me, I can easily measure up. We need to come back to our own inner guidepost, our own measuring stick, and if we don't know what or where that is, we need to go on a journey of self-discovery so we can build a new one from scratch. I'm determined to become aware of and then bust through these self-imposed limitations because I know at the end of my life it won't be the things that I did that I'll regret, it'll be the things I didn't due to fear, due to giving too many fucks, due to trying to measure up to others' expectations. So if we can change the way we do one thing, I'm pretty convinced we can change the way we do all things. And that starts with an awareness of the way we do one thing. The best way to do that, I've found, is to throw yourself into a new crafty kind of activity, requiring both hands and a shitload of concentration, like basket weaving or macrame or pottery or origami, something that you have no knowledge around. Then be the observer of your experience. Watch the way you respond to the task at hand. Do you find yourself looking around and comparing your work to others and come up short? Do you ask the teacher to show you exactly what you're doing wrong when there is nothing wrong with your creation? Do you crack the shits and declare yourself it's bullshit and pointless? Do you hand your thing over to someone else? Here, you do it. Do you take to it like a fish to water and then feel compelled to step in and help those you see struggling? How you do one thing is how you do all things. On my first ever retreat, I had a friend come and run a basket weaving workshop. I framed it up to the participants as how you do one thing is how you do all things. One creative process is all creative processes. While weaving my first ever basket, I recognized that it would often come apart. And when it did, I found myself diving into self-doubt, looking around at others, desperate for answers. Yet when I handed that over and kept trusting the process, it would miraculously come back together. As the observer, I could see the behavior and the stories I was telling myself throughout the process. When it comes to changing things, we first need awareness of our behavior and whether it serves us or not. Once we have the awareness, we can make the change. And here's the kicker, right? Because you have the awareness of how you do one thing is how you do all things, then the change can start small. It doesn't have to be a huge thing, just something. The ability to recognize one way that you're holding back. Learn to understand why it is you're holding yourself back, then challenge that. A couple of years ago, I decided to change one thing, a seemingly very small thing that ended up changing the way I saw myself and therefore the way I showed up in the world. See, I'd had this story going on for a very long time that I couldn't be consistent in anything I did. I couldn't stick to a diet, I couldn't blog weekly, I couldn't see anything through, I was a starter, not a finisher. Behind me lay a trail of unfinished projects and unrealized dreams, and it was all due to my inconsistency. I just couldn't stick to anything. Oh, except perhaps sabotaging behavior. During a bit of a low, a dear friend of mine, Emily, asked me, what are the small things I do when things are going well that tend to fall off when they're not? The list was simple things and surprisingly small. I get out in nature every day. I sit with a herbal tea and no distractions. I write. I call my friends for a chat. I make my bed. I looked at the list and figured that at the very least I could make my bed. I mean, it takes less than 60 seconds and it's not dependent on any other factors, like me having 5 minutes to myself or there being an electrical storm outside. It's easy, right? Just make your fucking bed every day. Now that I had the awareness, it should have been easy, right? But no, I made my bed for a week and then got over it. Until December 28th, 2015. I recorded an episode of my podcast, Carlosophies, with a friend of mine, Nikki Smith. She's a psychologist and career change coach who has this mini experiments approach. During the episode, she mentioned that we can really only change one habit at a time, and she challenged me to create one new habit, a keystone habit, something small that would create a ripple effect into other areas. Thinking back to my conversation with Emily Rooney, I chose making my bed. It was something small, achievable, that set me up for the day, and each time I'd walk past my bedroom during the day, it would stand as a reminder of the respect that I had for myself. At first, it was a challenge. Some days I just couldn't be fucked, and I almost wanted to sabotage myself, prove that I couldn't stick to it, but every single day since that new year, I've done it. Even when I've been hungover or crook, I've gotten out of my bed just to make it, only to get back in. Today, it isn't something that even crosses my mind as something I could not do. It just is. I do it. I won't leave the house until it's done. If I'm running late, it never goes on the back burner because my word to myself is more important to me now than being 60 more seconds late for daycare. I don't question it. I don't fight with myself about it. It just gets done. Because now it's easier to make the bed than to make the excuses to myself as to why I can't. The onflow from this one small act has been monumental. The I'm not consistent myth has been completely busted to smithereens. I went from podcasting sporadically to committing to my podcast coming out every single Wednesday without fail, regardless of what has to happen to make that happen. Now it happens. No excuses, solid consistency. I am the kind of person who is very consistent. Consistent as fuck. Every day, my lovely made bed serves as a constant reminder of how it's the little things that matter. It's the tiny little acts of kindness and respect towards yourself that can have a really powerful impact on the rest of your life. And, of course, how you do one thing is how you do all things. The end. Thanks for coming. See you next week. And in the meantime, I would love you to join my Show Up Speak Up community in Facebook or connect with me on Instagram at Carlosophies. Until next week, peace out.